almost every time that I've spoke, I just give the disclaimer that a lot of times I'm preaching to myself, and you guys are just listening. So keep that in mind. Something that God has been dealing with me, and it always just seems to happen that way. It's just the idea and the thought of owning things or having things or what's mine and things like that. So it does, listening to different pastors speak on this, but one told a story which then I could relate to because I had done this as well. So like senior in high school, freshman, college, kind of, because really I would just say I only spent like a semester in college, and then part of the story will probably tell you why it was only a semester of college. But I did some house sitting, which is I only got paid like maybe one time. All the other times it was just like, oh, hey, here you can have a place to live and use my stuff. And for me, that was payment. So when you go there and you're in someone else's house, it's really easy to get real comfortable while you're there, right? So usually, I mean, in my case, the people that let me house sit were just terrible role models. And they're like, oh, hey, there's plenty of beer in the fridge. And, you know, if you throw a party, you clean up, you know, make sure my house is still standing. But why did they have me do that? They had stuff there. They wanted somebody to be there. They're afraid maybe their stuff's going to get stolen. Somebody's going to break into their house. So they put me into a spot of that I'm supposed to manage something that they have while they're gone. They're entrusting me with it. So there was always reminders while I was there, like, it's not my house. You know, there's stuff in the fridge that maybe I don't normally eat. There's, you know, at that point in time in my life, it was a lot of like deli meat and ramen noodles. And I mean, I literally would come in from class and that was like the lunch of the day was a big turkey sandwich and ramen noodles. But they had those reminders always. So they entrusted me though to take care of pets, to, you know, take care of their house while they were gone. And that's kind of the same thing that God has entrusted us with. And it's something like in the terms that we'll understand would be like being a steward, stewardship. So it's the responsibility that God has given us to oversee his creation, some of his creation, overseeing his creation. So when we start looking through the rest of the Bible, my main passage that I'm going to be in is going to be in Genesis 1. So it's real easy for everybody to find. Just open your Bible. But I'm going to go through what the rest of the Bible talks about. The Lord and then his ownership of creation. So in Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and those, us, who dwell therein." God claims ownership of everything. Psalms 89:11, "I own all the world contains." That's what he's saying. "The heavens are yours, the earth is also yours, the world and its fullness," again, everything in it, "you have founded them." He's the creator slash owner. In 1 Corinthians 10:26, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." Revelations 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So we have to start really thinking about this and how we take it seriously. If God owns the world and everything within it, that means that we don't own anything. Now, we sometimes get that idea that, well, it's my life. I'm going to live my life like I want. That it's my life. It's my salvation. Anybody ever use those terms? tell me, come on, I'm not the only one, but have used those terms of it's my life, or it's my car, or it's my house. So you start grabbing that concept that you don't own anything. I mean, nothing, including your own life, the breath that you take, the life that's in you, because again, God's word will tell you that you're not promised tomorrow. It can be taken from you at any point in time. Your life may be requested at any point in time. You start to begin to understand life in Christ, and the without Christ in the meaning in there, everything's really unexplained. So when you don't have a center of that, I have a creator, I own nothing, not even my own life, then you can't explain the rest of this world, right? You can't explain any of the meaning. Everything then is just chaos, wrapped in chaos. So that's where we lead into Genesis chapter 1. So, little backstory before Genesis 1 that we don't find out until like Isaiah 14 is God had, you know, you already had, he's the creator of the heavens, and he had a management company, right? He's an owner. Does anybody in here have like a lot of property? No? Okay, all right. Hey, we're on the same boat, we're all poor. All right. But if you did have a bunch of property, multiple properties, as an owner, because again, you might be going and buying several properties, you're probably gonna hire somebody to then manage those properties. Right? You see an apartment complex, they have numerous tenants, and who they have, they hire a maintenance guy, right, to take care of all the apartments when an issue comes up. They have somebody maybe there looking, you know, making sure all the apartments are filled. They're managing said apartments. Well, his management company was angels. So until you had one angel, Lucifer, who then thought, wait a second, I want to be an owner. So he rounds up his boys, a third of angels, and tries to take some kind of ownership position, in which that explains his fall. And just so happened, he lands in the third planet from the sun, Earth. That was one of my favorite shows, The Third Rock from the Sun, where there's like aliens. Anybody watch that? Okay. All right. Tough crowd. So you even see in Luke 10 where Jesus describes seeing, you know, because I mean, that's where he started, heaven, right? Describes seeing Lucifer's fall like lightning from the heaven. And that's in Luke 10:18. So we look, and that's how the word of God starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness. Because, hey, devil and his boys are living there now. Darkness was about the face, right? God's light. So what does he do? He let there be light. So he starts going ahead, and I'm going to invest here on earth. But then at the same time, while I'm investing, first, let's make it light. I don't like dark. He goes ahead and he starts dividing waters from the earth, because when you start mixing earth and water, it becomes a swamp, right? So he starts dividing that to then let's create some order here, because God is very specific, he's very detailed, and he's a God of order, not chaos. So we see from verse 1 all the way down to 26 of where he is going through, and now he's orderly. He's starting to arrange and create this order. And he gets down to verse 26, and he says, I need some managers. I need some overseers. I'm creating all this stuff, and after each time I'm creating it, I'm saying, this is good. I create it. Yep, I'm liking it. Daddy likey. All right. I'm sorry, are you going to have the Okay. I feel like every time, like, they have to, like, end up taking an excerpt or something out. So we go ahead and we see that he's creating animals, living creatures, cattle, creeping things, beast of the earth, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on earth according to its kind. And he sees that it's good. And in verse 26, he says, "Let me make some managers." So he says, "Let us make man in our image," which then, like, constitutionally, right, we are just below angels, right? He creates this new management company in our own image. So when you start thinking about this, that, of course, we don't have, like, angelic, you know, powers. It's not like we're flying around and transposing ourselves, like, you know, teleporting or whatever. We don't have any of that. We are just below. So after he makes each thing, and he's saying it's good, it's good, it's good, he goes ahead and makes his new management, his overseers of the earth, and creates man. And he then gives, like, dominion over all the animals. All right, so we're going on in verse 26. So we're making in our own image. All right, have dominion over fish of the sea, birds of the air, cattle all over, creeping things, which makes me think of Paul and Joanna with all their snakes. But he has dominion over them, right? And creates man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." We always think, oh yeah, go have some babies, be fruitful and multiply. No, it means, like, here, I'm giving you all this stuff. I've given you dominion. I expect you to then go ahead and multiply it. Not just sit around and just take all of it up. I expect you, here, tend. So he blessed them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Take dominion. So he's giving these commands. Verse 29, "See, I've given every herb that yields seed." So here, look at all this that I've created for you. Use it, like, to the max. I want you to multiply it to the max. I want you to take all this stuff. You have dominion. You're my new management company. So I create this garden. I've created this garden for you. Use it all. So he said, "I've given every green herb for food," and it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was. Now he says, I like it a lot. It was very good. Why? Because he has created, he's made all this creation, made all, you know, trees, herbs, everything, and puts man over it, and then says, it's yours. Right? He's entrusted. It's yours. But then he says, it's very good now. Why? Because not only did I create all this, but then here I have entrusted it to man. So tend this garden as much as you can from these trees. However, God places one tree. I'm giving you all these. But then there's this one that he says, nope, you can't have that one. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the Google tree. Let's just say it's the Google tree. So it's like, that is the tree that, I mean, you see what I'm saying? So everybody asks, like, why is that tree there? You know, God, listen, you know what that tree does to man, so why do you put it there? But just like, you know, when you're house sitting and there's certain things that happen and you're like, yep, this ain't my house, right? Or something breaks and you're like, nope, nope, not my house. I'm not fixing it, not my house. It's the same thing that God was telling Adam and Eve. It's like, there's that tree. but guess what? I'm giving you everything you need, but this is not your home. This is not your house. It's my house. Why? Well, because God wanted to be able to reveal what man needed to know, but then man is just too stupid. We always want to create and get this information and think that it's from us. I mean, let's look at what we've come. Science and big bangs and evolution and all this stuff. We've made up all these things and said, oh, this is how we think it was done. Yet God wanted to be able to reveal himself to man for it to be real good, to be very good. So the whole Google tree, it's the reminder that this is not your house. If you start talking about he wanted man's reliance to be from God and not himself, in Ephesians 3:9 says, like, make all see what the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. The mysteries that we have. When you start looking then at Isaiah 42, thus says the God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and the spirit to those who walk on it. Isaiah 45:18, for thus says the Lord, who created heaven, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who do not create in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no others. So, when we start grasping this idea that we don't own anything, including our own life, including every breath that we take, because man always has this, we keep like creating things that have already been created. Like the jacket you have on is on loan from God's creation, right? Like every part of that, he created it. God had created this sustainable earth that everything keeps like reproducing itself. Like he already thought it out, like oxygen and water, all these resources that every day we just think like, oh, here, let me turn on the faucet. We're not thinking about like every little molecule or even that little fish that like attaches to a shark that like clean eats from its teeth. And think about like the intricate details of creation and all that God created. And then you start thinking even about your own life of how many people like think that they own something. Like how many people own your own house? Anybody? Yep. Anybody?
I don't want to raise my hand now.
Huh? You don't want to raise your hand now? Well, yeah, because guess what? Like your bank, the bank still owns your house. You make a couple missed payments, right? You don't pay them. Guess what? Now it's the bank's house, right? But how many times do we like fill out an application? It's like, do you own or rent your home? And we're like, yep, I own it. It's mine. No, the bank is entrusting you to manage it, aren't they? They'll let you even like let garbage pile up in it. You know, you can put a bucket over in the corner and use a bathroom in it. Let rats live there. You can have 15 million cats. Right? But you miss a couple payments, and they're like, times. It's our house now. Thanks. See you later. They even let you run it into the ground. So how much more God putting us as managers, and he'll let us run it into the ground. He'll even let us give it over to the devil, our lives. Here you are. I've created you. I've put you right here. And then I'll even let you go and give it all over to the devil. I mean, think about that. So we have these ideas of my struggles. Nope. You're in a cursed world of sin, right? You still have a evil, wicked, sinful nature. It's the curse of sin. My job, nope. That God lets you have, that he lets you wake up and go to work. My stupid, ugly car, nope. That God bless you with because you're not walking anywhere, right? It might be ugly. Trust me, I've had a couple ugly cars. This stupid house that God's allowing you to live in. All the scientific discoveries that we have. How many people have had the new and improved, right? Like, how many people in here have multiple iPhones? Right? Every year, it's like we just keep making something. Oh, it's the new and improved. How many people in here used to wear like bell bottoms back in the 70s? I'm specifically looking at you. And you just waited. And then what happened? Like, when was that? Like 90s, right? The bell bottoms came back in. And then are they back in now? Like, it just keeps repeating. It's the new and improved, right? We keep going around in the style, and somehow we're innovators. No, you're just like redoing what somebody else did. You know, if anybody had listened to like music even, right? We just keep regurgitating the same thing in just a slightly different way, and suddenly it is magnificent, just awesome. So we keep doing the new and improved. However, we lose sight of the central focus of our lives, that any true revelations are from God, and we're just too stupid to realize it and take credit for it, right? We start positioning every aspect of our life through the creative life, and we're going to start seeing a difference when he's involved first, right? So I spoke like a little bit last time about being, you know, God wants to be first. A tangible way that he gives us is like in our first fruits. That's why he wants to be included first, right? What happened in Old Testament, the Sabbath was on a Saturday, right? And then you come back into New Covenant, and then now I want you to worship the first day of the week. He wants to be first. Even in the day of the week, I want to be first. So when we start thinking about our, you know, I shouldn't even say our, but the careers that we have, the family that we have, the husband, wife, the friends, the all these things, like specifically, like God has positioned. And when we lose sight of that, we actually think it's something that we do, and it's not. Even your personality, God gave you. So let's start thinking about that, right? Even like some of the things, like you were created, but we still live in a world of sin, which then influences. So we start looking at things through God's lens, and then we start seeing the true needs differentiated from wants, and then he's able to then like start fulfilling desires, right? Because everybody has the same thing, time, talent, treasures. We have them. It's just in different amounts, right? Some people are great singers, great singers. Some people are terrible singers. And some of you out there. Right? But in different ways, like, hey, I could be gone tomorrow. That means that Jeff had more time than me. Right? What is it about that, though? What are we doing in that time? That's the bigger question of, okay, in that time, then, is your life centered and focused where you are living through God? You are wanting to be a manager. You want to oversee, but at the same time, you don't want to do it your way. You want to do it God's way. So then that starts going back through the lens of, what sense can I make of this? If it's not through the lens of the Creator, through my Creator, we have this idea that God doesn't understand it. No, He created you. He understands it way more than you do. So don't be confused like that somehow I'm like a name it, claim it, or anything, because God wants to bless the work of your hand if you're going ahead and you're actually like putting Him first in that work of your hand. So when I go and I'm going to start my own business, I feel like God's leading me. Well, it's not my business. Like, I'm just running it for God, and I'm wanting everything to go from that. It's not mine. This isn't like a God makes you rich, successful, and somehow good looking. Because some of you, you just look the way you look. Sorry. But it's a message that, why don't you start centering that God is an actual creator, right? He's an owner. He's not looking for joint ventures. He's not looking for co-ownership. No, he's just looking for managers, but he's not looking for owners. So when he's an owner, there's going to be plenty of management opportunities to further his kingdom, because that's essentially what we're created to do, to have the dominion and all that, but to further his kingdom. So it kind of brings us back around, and I know that I've preached on this before, but it brings it back around to Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents, of where you have these three slaves, these servants, and their master going off. He's going off on a long journey. That's what it says in Matthew 25. He's going on a long journey. So obviously it's not just for a small amount of time. It's for a long period of time. And if you know anything about this story, I'm just going to surmise just a little bit. So he gives one servant 5 talents. He gives the other one 2 talents. And then he gives one talent. And it tells you that he gives these based on their ability, right? So you had the one that's getting 5, obviously top-notch, high-functioning dude, motivated, ready to get after it. The guy with 2, still, hey, he's motivated. Still going to give him more than 1. And then you got the guy that's just 1. So obviously, he was the low-functioning servant, right? But he gives them, and he says, here, take these. I'm giving them to you. I'm going on this journey. Take these. So you have the 2, they get multiple talents. You have the 2, then they go and they're wanting to multiply. They're not just sitting on them. They're not just whatever. They go and they multiply them. And then you have the low functioner. He goes and takes it and buries it. Right? So when he comes back and then they come and they present, listen, look, master, I've doubled what you've given me. You know, and well done, well done. It's almost like days of judgment. Because again, what do we all have? Time, talent, treasures, right? So when he gets the one with 1, the guy says, you're a hard dude. You're a hard master. You run a hard bargain, right? Has anybody had a boss like that? No? You run a hard bargain. I'm kind of scared of you, and I don't want to mess it up. Because, like, it's a hard bargain. So I just buried it. Well, what made the master so mad about it is he says, like, you didn't even just take it and put it in the bank. At least then you could have drew some interest. But he was starting to see, like, his different motives. Because not only, he went on a long journey. And, I mean, back in those days, anybody do the, what was that game? It was like the Oklahoma Trail or something. Oregon Trail. Anybody ever play that game in school? You didn't think you were going to hear this today. The old Oregon Trail, where it seemed like all the time, like I never could win that game because like everybody get typhoid and die. It's terrible, right? But how much more in those days, you know, you go, I'm going on vacation, and you might die because you're walking through the wilderness and get stung by a scorpion or ate up by somebody. I mean, it wasn't just like a jaunt out. It was no, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to run to the store for something, because you might die, walk into the store and get eaten by something. So not only, he says, you wicked, evil servant, at least you could have done is put it in the bank and get some interest. At least. But let's think about, why didn't he put it in the bank? One, there's a record of it. He's saving it for himself, just in case something happened to him. You know, at least I'm the only one that knows where it's at. He's the one taking that talent. He's trying to become an owner. If he puts it in the bank, there's a transaction. If master dies, then what happens? Nobody else knows about this talent that I've hidden. Now it's mine. He's trying to take the ownership of it just in case something happened. He doesn't want the record to be in the bank. He doesn't want there to be a record of a transaction where somebody could say, oh, okay, this is, you know, Master so-and-so's talent. He doesn't want that to happen. He was wanting that, holding it for himself. So in these time, talents, and treasures, we think about what does God give us, right? Not everybody has the same talent. If you're a baseball coach and you got a kid that can't throw the ball very well, you're not going to put him in at pitcher, right? You might like, I think the landing spot in most little leagues is like, oh, hey, he's not too good. Right field. So he gave all these things to each and every one of us, but then really the biggest part, because even the guy that got two, he doubled. He didn't get the five, but he still doubled, right? So then he goes and the master goes ahead and takes it. You know what? Get that from him, and we're going to give it over here to this guy. You know, these two guys that actually did something with it. So, I mean, you just kind of start having to let that be a warning to you. If you have some talents and you ain't using them to further God's kingdom, they might just get taken. You might not have them anymore. And then they might give them to somebody else. And they might get more because they've actually taken what God's given to them and multiplied it, put it to work. So God loves us so much, even as the manager, he allows us to run what he's entrusted to us into the ground. Look at the family unit. The family, if anybody in here has a family, if you have a wife and kids, and you are not leading them closer to Christ as a man, you bear first responsibility, which is why Adam, he was created first, and he bears the responsibility. So if things are not going too well in your home as a man, it's your problem. It's your fault. The responsibility rests solely on your shoulders. Women, breathe a sigh. Because at the end of the day, it does come down to being the man's fault inside the family unit. Now, let's break that down. Is my family mine? Nope. Am I entrusted with them and with their souls? Yes. It is my responsibility. But they're not mine. They still belong to God before they belong to me. So why do we have such a problem trusting him? Why do we think our problem is beyond his control or that he doesn't understand his creation? Well, it's because we have taken ownership. We have thought, this belongs to me. And when you have a conflict between management and ownership, when the managers are thinking, I'm going to go this way, and the owner says, no, we're going this way, that creates a conflict. And guess what? The owner might let you go off and just run into the ground, right? He has plenty. God has plenty. He's rich in blessings. Plenty. He doesn't need your money, but he lets you have that tangible thing of giving. He doesn't need, like, he really doesn't need your money. But it's the tangible thing of saying, God, because he knows how men are. He knows how women are. Money is the root of all evil. We talk about it numerous times in the Bible. And it's the tangible thing of just letting go and saying, God, it's not my money. Thanks for letting me keep 90%. I mean, that's a pretty good trade right now. If I just told you, like, hey, I'm going to give you 90% of whatever I make, anybody in here would take it. Doesn't even matter if I, you know, pump gas at a gas station or something. You guys will take it. Everybody in here will take it. It's a pretty good interest rate. We start looking and seeing, because David, he was a man after God's own heart, but then he realized where he was at in God's creation and that he was entrusted and that everything was funneled through a lens of my creator. In Psalms 43, he says, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear it and I will trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, famous verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God made it. Why not trust him with it? So people even in here might sit here, and this might be like a completely new idea to you that you don't own anything. And you might be older. Hey, it really took, I was 35 before really this has sunk into my head this week and last week and like the week before has really just pressed it in real hard. You might sit there and think, well, I've wasted a lot of time trying to own what I don't own and mismanaging because I'm doing it by my own ability. If you find yourself waking up tomorrow, obviously God has blessed you with another day. If you wake up and, oof, my back hurts, thank God that he has given me another day. You still have time. But it is one day at a time because you can't rob the grace you have for today. You can't rob it and try to like pay it for tomorrow. You can't start worrying about tomorrow. You can't rob it because you only have enough for right now. So you're like going, you're trying to go in grace debt thinking about tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. Doesn't mean you can't plan. Doesn't mean God loves a good plan, but you might not have it. So to end, I started this week and I told Janet, it was just really funny how these things happen, especially when you start getting very specific in prayers with God. As I started like every day thinking in terms of Psalms 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Starting my day with that. So God, you have allowed me to wake up with a beating heart, breath in my lungs, and grace for one day. Been equipped. So I want this day that you've allowed me, I want you to help me manage it for the furtherance of your kingdom. And I will do it with rejoicing and I'll be glad. So I started my Monday off. Because again, like if you own your own business, if you ain't making money that day, you made this many dollars that day. Even if you put in 10 hours, that's how much money I made. I started off, thought I was going to make some money. I really did. Like I went and I was talking to Ken about this because he saw me later that day and I was just wore out. But I started that day and I was going to like install a ceiling fan, you know, a little handyman service, just make a little money, a little cash money, and then go and make some more money down in Georgetown. That was my plan. That was the idea. However, God had a little different path for that day. So I go and I'm going to do this install of a ceiling fan. Shouldn't be, but maybe 30 minutes, right? And get there and then start, because it was a person that I knew, but start talking to this person and they were like, yeah, hey, me and my spouse were separating. Well, here comes this guy who, I have a little bit of a testimony about that. So God just opened the door to where then like 3 hours later, I've installed the ceiling fan. I have done that. But also too, like ministered to someone who didn't really have an idea about God. But I leave there and I'm like, well, I can't drive to Georgetown because I have to be back up here by 4. So there goes that money-making opportunity. Then randomly, I get a call from a guy who used to work with. Don't really know him that well. I did a little bit of work for him, but it's not like we're besties. We're not best friends. We're not BFFs. Just calls me out of the blue, hey, can you have lunch? Okay. Yeah, I'm just working in Dry Ridge. Why does this guy call me? And the only thing that I can think is just like, you know what? It ain't me. It's just God in me. Because people are attracted to that. If you've ever been and, you know, God's working in your life and you're really looking to him for like everything, people are attracted to you. You could be the dorkiest of dorks. I'm a pretty big dork. I really am. They'll tell you. Like, ask my daughter, 13-year-old daughter. She'll tell you I'm a dork. But just out of the blue, well, even then, in that lunch, sit there and minister to him. Then after that, somebody I didn't even plan to see that day, that I was only, like, stopping by to try to get something to, like, see that person, and guess what? Then here we are, like, 2.5 hours, 3 hours later. I was late to get to Kenny because I was sitting there talking with that guy, God using me that way. And at the end of it, I was wore out. I can tell you that for a fact. I was more wore out doing that than like hanging drywall all day or, you know, pouring concrete. I was wore out. Like, which then I said to Jana once I got home, because then I met Ken, and then we go up and we look at a job, right? But I said to Jana when I get home, like, all right, I can understand now. Whenever, like, I would hear Jeff being like, man, I'm just tired. Oof, I'm just wore out. And I'm just sitting there like, come on, you old man. Get it together. But I was wore out. So really, like, to end is that start doing that every day. When you start realizing that the time you have is not the time, it's not your time. Like, he still wants you to go to work. Don't take this as like, quit your job and start going on the street corner and preaching. No, no, go to your job. Yep, you got to eat. But at your job, be prepared for God to use you. Especially when you start really looking and like, God, I don't own anything. This day is yours. I'm just here, you know, trying to further your kingdom. That's all. That's my job. And when you start looking at it of being a true steward of the gospel, because that's what he's called us, right? Then you're going to start seeing him like use that. But be prepared, because at the end of the day, you might be like, I'm wore out. But at the same time, super blessed, because when God uses you, it's better than any kind of using. Nobody in here likes to get used, do they? Nope, you don't. Let God use you. You love it. You can't get enough of it. So, keep this prayer for every day. That it should start, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up with a beating heart, breath in my lungs, and grace for one day. He doesn't want to hear no whimpering about, oh man, but my knee. Nope. Obviously, it's there. He wants you to wake up, be thankful. You can still walk. But this is the day you've allowed me to manage the furtherance of your kingdom. There's no greater responsibility than that. None. If anybody can tell me if like something that's more important than that, tell me, please. But there is nothing more important than that. But you're going to do it with rejoicing and be glad while you're doing it, even if at the end of the day you're tired. But I'm going to stop you, and I'm just going to leave you with this. So, I am going to tell you, though, if you want to take control of your life and, you know, really start owning stuff on your own, everybody, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you really want to start taking ownership and really own everything you have, and you don't have to worry about God getting involved in it, all you have to do is create your own planet. Create your own sustainable planet and then you'll own everything. But none of us have that ability. But that's the only way that you really own something, is if you start creating your own planet. And none of us here can do that. None of us. So start accepting what your role is, because God loves roles. He's specific. If you start, just read, and I mean, I am not a big reading like Leviticus or anything like that, but me and Jeff were talking about that, of you start reading and just seeing how detailed that God was when he told them to build the tabernacle. Just read through it, and then you're going to be sitting there like, yep, you're pretty specific. I mean, because he was picking out colors, he was picking out materials, he was picking out exactly what size something needed to be. He was specific about doing it. All right, he didn't leave it up to like add some more option. He was specific and covered every single detail. So when you start thinking about, okay, God, what's your plan for my life? Well, he'll reveal it in time, but you have to be looking at it through his lens of that, God, you're first. That you're my creator, I'm just the creation, and I have to get in order, because he's detailed, I have to get in the order in which you've called me. And that means I have to be a manager. Because again, he's not looking for joint ownership. It's not like your life is yours and his. No. It's his. But he calls you to be a manager and manage properly. And he gives you the guide, the policy and procedure of the company. Right? Every good company has policy and procedure. Why? Because people have stepped out of line and have gotten out of order and there's chaos. And when they did that, he destroyed the whole entire like population with the flood. Because men started getting the idea that they owned something. The creation started thinking that just because they were created, that somehow that gave them stock in the company, that they had a vote on the board of directors. It's not. It doesn't belong to you. It never will. Whatever you have is from God. He can take it away at any point in time, in a second. Nobody's ever seen a U-Haul attached to the back of a hearse. From dust you came, from dust you will return. I'm glad I could get real morbid before we eat. So remember those things and remember that prayer and start your day with it, and then buckle up, because he'll start taking you on a ride. He really will.